No rival throne survive, and I serve only you. Keep your lovely face. To keep your lovely face ever before my eyes. This is my prayer, O Lord. Make it my strong desire that in my secret heart no other love compete, no rival throne survive, and I serve only you. To keep your lovely face, to keep your lovely face, hallelujah, ever before my eyes. Oh, this is my prayer, O Lord. Make it my strong desire that in my sacred heart no other love competes, no rival throne survives, and I serve only. Sacred heart, no other love compete, no rival throne survive, and I serve only. Reign in me, sovereign Lord. Sovereign Lord, reign in me, reign in me, Lord, reign in me. Oh, sovereign Lord, reign in me, Master Jesus. Captivate, O Lord, captivate my heart. Let thy kingdom come, establish there your throne. Let thy will be done, Master. Sovereign Lord, reign in me. Captivate my heart, captivate my heart. Oh Lord, let thy kingdom come, establish there your throne. Let thy will, oh Lord,
let your will be done.
Captivate my heart, Lord Jesus.
Captivate my heart. Let your kingdom come.
Establish there your throne, O Lord. Let thy will be done. Sovereign Lord, reign in me. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen and amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
The Lord reigneth.
Let the earth tremble.
The Lord reigneth in majesty. He is clothed with power. Oh, we bless your name, Almighty God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So we continue and then just tidy everything up by the grace of God and then have a time of prayer. We have some questions that we have not yet answered, and there are some other ones too that came during the week. We will try and just use that to tidy up everything at the end of it all. What we are looking at is pray the Father's will. We all love to pray. Prayer is essential, but prayer is of no use if it is not in the Father's will. All our prayers are just noise making if it is not in line with the Father's will. And the Father is not committed to answer prayer that is not in His will. So it makes it mandatory for you and me to first of all discover the Father's will. And not just to discover it, like my brother said, just for knowing its sake, but to do it. So like my brother said, praying that to know the will of God is a very important prayer. But equally very important is the Lord, prepare my heart to do your will. Help me to prepare my... The Bible will talk of some kings and say, this one prepare his heart to seek the Lord. He said, the preparation of the heart in man and the answering of the tongue is of the Lord. So the heart of man must be prepared. Or else you will just be asking out of the multitude of the idols in your heart. And God said in the book of Ezekiel, which we read last week, He said, I will answer you according to that at the idol. I will answer you according to... So you will be hearing yourself. And you think, oh, it is God's will. May God deliver us from all idols that deceive. Oh, it's so terrible. And usually when God wants to call somebody to order, He uses that method. There was a king in Israel. I think it was in the day of Prophet Micah. And the king already has his own heart set. He wants to go to this battle. He wants to go. And God said, okay, no problem, you will go. Because I must destroy you there. And God sent prophets. And they start prophesying. Oh, king, now you must go. In fact, with this, you will drive out your enemy. And then the true prophet came. And seeing what they are doing, all they said, okay, no problem. Let me also mimic them. And the king know that this one is not saying the truth. He's mimicking. Tell me the truth again. Okay, if you want to hear the truth, this is actually what is happening. All these prophets that are talking to you, the Lord have sent a spirit into their mouth to deceive you.
Lying spirit.
The Lord have sent it into their mouth, so they are telling you because God is meant to destroy you. And one of the prophets was so angry, so proud. I said, who told you? Where does the spirit go from here? And he went and said, okay, king, go to that battle. But if you come back, God has not sent me. And then he told that man, he said, even you will die. And that's what happened. Lying spirit. May we not heed seducing spirit.
Amen.
The Bible says, in the last day, many shall heed to seducing spirit. Listening to themselves. Being deceived and being deceived by themselves. And they cannot hear anymore the voice of reasoning from the Lord. So your heart must be prepared. Say, Lord, prepare my heart to do thy will. Take away all secret idols. All the imagery I've set up, the golden imagery of jealousy that steered the Holy One to jealousy. Say, deliver me from all secret idols, self-love, that I may delight to do thy will. In Psalm 40, the Lord speaking, said, I delight to do thy will. That's a time of struggle. God understands that. But he wants you to come to the place of maturity where you are no longer struggling to do the will of God. So Paul said, when I was a child, I think like a child. And we did spoke about the four stages of God's will towards us. Express and make manifest. When we were a baby, the will of God is that we grow. We take in more milk of the word. We store in the word. We read the word, we meditate it, we memorize it. We let it sink, we meditate on it, we grow by the word. Then you come to the place of childhood when discipline is introduced, training. God began to train you. He said, do not withdraw the rod from a child. When you discipline, you are training him. He said, except you are a bastard. But if you are a true child born of his spirit, he will train you. He will spank you. He will make you to know that you don't wee-wee in your pampers anymore. He will spank you with the rod. He will correct you in righteousness. And of course, the instrument of correction are going to be your brethren. So if you are the type that you don't have ears to hear the counsel of your brethren, you are heading for destruction. When you are set in your own way, you are heading for destruction. Hear the counsel of your... The Bible says, in the multitude of counsel, there is safety. One of the things the Lord is going to train you in that realm is how to be able to rely and take counsel from the Lord and from your brethren. And know how to walk in the house of faith. A lot of things will come, whether bad or good counsel. God will expect you to be able to decipher all and take the one that is of him and move on. And then you come into the stage of young man, youth. That place is the place of enlargement. That place is the place of strength to fight for enlargement. You want enlargement. You want to conquer many grounds for God. You want to go out in ministry. It's a place of enlargement. And then you come into the fatherhood, the place of rest, complete rest. And these are the will of God expressed for us in those areas. And we have talked about it. And we did say that if, and we have said it again this morning, if you must need to pray, which we all must have to, the first thing you must settle is, what is the will of the Father in this thing I want to pray? You say, okay, when I don't know the will I pray? Yes, pray in tongues. The Bible says, he that pray in the Spirit, pray according to the will of God. That's why he gave us ability to pray in tongues. That's why Paul, we said, I pray in tongues more than them all. So if you don't know, pray in tongues. When you are praying in tongues, worship God, praise God, and go. You have prayed for things that you don't even know. The Spirit will pray according to the will of God. That's why he gave us how to pray in tongues. To pray in another language. So utilize it. You are in a situation you don't know what to do. You don't know which way to go. You don't know whether it is this or that. Just come to God's presence, sit down and speak in tongues for hours. And give him praise over it. Give him thanks. No, he has heard you. And just go. That's why he gave us speaking in tongues. So, we must pray. But we must always pray in line with the will of God. We must learn to discover it. But discovering it is one. But preparing our hearts to do it. And our brother said it in prayer. Doing it. And that's what we are going to be talking about. So we will go on straight to knowing the will of the Father. We have talked how important it is. We have talked how We need to have it. How do you know it? And that's one of the questions somebody asked, you know, after last week. So how do I know God's will? How do I know that I am in God's will? A very important question. A very, very important one. And I will start answering by saying, number one, knowing God's will is first of all a choice you have to make. You have to decide that I want to know and I want to do the will of the Father. The Father is so willing to make his will known. The Father dwells in light. It's not in darkness. And because he dwells in light, he makes himself known. We are not worshiping him that we do not know. So we know him and he made himself known and he made his will known. Now let me quickly say this, and so that as we move on, you will be able to get the whole picture. Most of the times, God will not come and tell you expressly, A, B, C, D, E, F, this is my will. Why? Because when he tells you what he wants you to do, or what is willing, you will not believe it. Because his will is bigger than what your mind can comprehend. He's not talking to your mind. He's not addressing his will to your mind. So your mind can't comprehend it. And because you cannot comprehend it, you will not believe it. And you're not believing it, will hinder him from doing it. And because he must do it and to save you, so he will not tell you all of it. Why? Because, look, the will of God is so glorious for you. I don't know what you think about yourself. I don't know what you have planned. Whatever you think and plan and say, oh, by this year, I want to buy this, is my, this is the will. I tell you, it's just a drop compared to the enormity. He said, I know the thoughts he thinks towards me. It's a thought of peace, not of evil, to give me an expected end. He said the sum of his thought for me is so mighty, I can't even number it. He thinks about you. He has think big about you. While the prodigal son, when he decided to return back, his own thought is, let me just go back and be one of the servants. I am as long as I'm in the Father's house, if I'm a gatekeeper, I'm okay. But from the day he left, the Father already have it in mind to share his authority with him, to give him the scepter, the rule, the authority. But he in the land where he's eating with swine, he doesn't know it. He's blind to it. Now, if when he was going, the Father had told him, okay, when you finish doing that, spoiling everything there, come back home. I have rings and all that for you. When he get there and everything finished, I say, no, I don't think so. In fact, the more reason why I should run away. With all this bad thing I have done, he will just take me and throw. He has changed his mind. When I was living with all his good intact. And his expectation is that by the time I get there, I will do great things and I will come back and he will give me the ring. Now I have messed up everything. Everything I've been spoiled. In fact, I don't have anything. So why is the use going? But let me just stay here. So he said, well, I will go back. Peradventure, he will accept me back and make me to be a gatekeeper. But God has decided he's going to have the ring. So I'm saying all this to make you to know that just be content with God, what God has for you. You may not know it all. And don't be shaky about that. Don't be afraid about that. He's not a tantalizer. He's not somebody that is, no, he loves you. He loves you, he loves you, he loves you, and he loves you with all that he has. He said, if he did not spare his only begotten son, But freely gave. He said, what else can he not give you? What else? What else? Goodwill is determined for you and me in the Father's heart. Said, according as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Said, he had blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus the Lord. So much is the thought and the goodwill of God towards you that you don't need to be afraid. You don't need to begin to, you know, just walk in his way as we're going to look at. And you will find yourself consistently walking in the will of the Father. He will literally be carrying you in his hand. He will bear you upon his hand. And he will follow the path of his will for you. And when you are finished one, he will turn and explain to you. Say, son, look at all that has happened. This is my will for you now. Oh, see, Father, I didn't know that. If I had had to pray and ask, I would have not asked up to that level. I would have not asked up to that. I would have just asked maybe something that I think is good. But God has the bigger issue at all. What do you see? We don't see beyond our nose. All our so-called revelations, they are just a tip like this. God has it all planned up. Just cast yourself upon him and delight in him, and he will always show you the way. Praise the name of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
So that is it. Now, another thing that must be settled in us knowing the will of God and preparing is that the conflict must be resolved. The strife must come to an end. And Jesus Christ came when you, and this is what I'm going to give to you, brethren. Follow the footstep of Jesus. You will never miss it. Just say every day, Jesus, I want to do it the same way you did it. The same way you will have done it if you are still here. Just guide my step. You will never miss it. Why? Because every struggle that we need to go through, Jesus Christ has resolved it all for you and me. The last struggle was a struggle of will of man. And he resolved it in the Garden of Gethsemane. And by that singular resolution, he has made it possible for you and me to walk, to love the will of God. He broke that self-will. That thing that will make man to always delight to do his own, and knowing God's will, he will just want to go against it. Jesus Christ broke that hold over our life. Adam transferred it to us. Adam willfully, knowing, the Bible says he was not deceived. He went in and did that which was wrong, and that spirit was transferred to the lineage of Adam, so that man is just born to disobey God. He knows it and he will not do it. And such were we also. Paul says, such were some of us. But Christ has redeemed us and has delivered us. So in that Garden of Gethsemane, he's representing all of us together. He has his own will. He has his own will. But he said, Lord, not as I will, O God. As thou willest. That prayer is not only for himself, it's for you also. You can key into that prayer in every circumstance. Not as I will, say it, unto death. And that is where he broke that spirit of disobedience. That tyranny that I rule men and I've made them to always want to walk contrary to the will of God. Jesus Christ terminated and broke it at Calvary. Know it for yourself and never walk in disobedience to the will of God. Jesus has opened the way for you and me. Hallelujah. To a life of perfect obedience.
Hallelujah.
Perfect submission. Perfect submission. All is at rest. No conflict. No striving. Just all is at rest. No striving. So in the book of Psalm 32, we will read that and then move straight to knowing it. We've already started it, but we will just move into it. So, Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. So in chapter 30, in Psalm 32, verse 9, David speaking to us, he said, "Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Be not as the horse." That is a category of people. A people whose mind works like, you know, like the speed of a jet. They've had everything planned out. Everything thought out. And they just want to go pew and just begin to do it. He said, don't be like that. Don't be like that. Then he said again, don't be like mule. Those who don't have any plan, they just sit down. They don't have anything. They just, you know, anything comes. Don't be like that. Because they do not have understanding. So in the book of Ephesians that our brother read, chapter 5, verse 15. The book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 15. Ephesians, chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 15. We are going to verse 17. It says, "Seeing then ye are walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Verse 17. "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding the will of God." Understanding the will of the Father. So don't be like a mule. Don't be like a horse. Who needs to be bridled? And your bridle is always out. Oh, I must do it my own way. Oh, I've gotten everything planned out. Oh, if it doesn't work like this, then I'm in trouble. Oh, if it doesn't do this, then heaven must fall. And then you go into all kind of, you know, struggle and all that. I said, don't be a horse. Don't be like a mule, the one that doesn't even care. It's a sloth. It's a slothful person. Doesn't have any sense of duty or responsibility. A mule is just moving around. Moo, moo. Nothing. No any pursuit of God's purpose. You know, he said, but understanding. When you understand, you will combine the two together. You will have both the strength of the horse, and you will also have the patience and the strength of a mule. You'll be able to labor long. You'll be able to run and not be weary. So that is why understanding of the will of the Father is very, very essential. Now let's go straight to the body. Now, we did said that there are the express will, revealed will of God to us. That is that which he has already made known to you and me in the pages of the scripture. You must find them out. And if you truly spend time with him in the time when you are a baby, and you have truly drank the milk, they will become something readily available for you at every time of need. But before then, there is the eternal will of God. That is the will that God will must be done on the earth. That is the will that we be conformed to Christ. Romans chapter 8 verse 27 to 30. And John chapter 6 verse 39 to 50, talking about our resurrection. These are the eternal will of God. These are things that God is working out for you and me. That is also the one that the all earth be filled with the knowledge of his God. This is his will. But while this one is being worked out, that is the one he revealed to you now, that he wants you to be concerned about. He wants you to focus on. And when you focus on it, they become like the roadmap. They become like the roadmap that will lead you to entering into the eternal will that he has ordained for you. Conformity to his image. And being a vessel that will be used to fill the whole earth with the knowledge of his glory. So these ones are like, you know, landmarks. These ones are like, you know, roadways that give you that, okay, I'm on the right path. I'm on the right path. And when you continue in that right path, he will always make other things known to you. But if you deviate from that path and you begin to run, oh, show me your will in this, let me know this, he will not answer you. And if he does, it's dangerous. So we call this the express will of God for you and me. It's express. And we mentioned some of them the last time. We're going to elaborate on them and then move to the final one. Walking in the will every day. Number one, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 3 to 6 tells us your consecration. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 3 to 6. Your consecration is his will. A man who is not working in consecration, and now when it comes to the time of marriage, hey God, show me your will. Show me your will. you are just deceiving yourself. You are just deceiving. We give to you according to your own heart. Obviously, that person at the end of the day will just go in his own way. We'll just choose anybody. We'll just go. They don't have it because there's nothing at stake. They are not living in consecration, so there is nothing at stake. So they are living for themselves. The self-will is still very strong. So eventually, you will just choose somebody and say, well, that's the God's will for me, and I'm doing it. So your consecration, and we're going to pick four ingredients in your consecration work. Number one, consecration leads you to consistent obedience. So we call it the consecration of obedience. He said, my ears have thou opened, O God. My ears have thou. Let's read it. Psalm 40. Let's read that passage. Psalm 40. Oh, yes. Okay. Yes. Psalm 40 verse 6. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Oh, we love to give sacrifice. We love to give sacrifice. We love to give offering. And it's good for us to give sacrifice. It's good for us to give offering. But let it be known that God's interest is not so much in sacrifice and in offering, but our ears to be open. He said, burnt offering and offering as thou not require. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Thy law is within my heart. My ears have thou opened. And what is his ear open unto? To obey the will of the Father. Obedience. Consecration of obedience. Obeying him in all matter, both big and small. Walking in obedience and desiring every day to walk in perfect obedience. And you keep a check upon your life. You examine yourself day by day whether you are still in the pathway of obedience. And if there is any deviation, you quickly recover yourself. Turn back in repentance and take on your garment of obedience. The Bible Say, Jesus Christ is our pattern, is our example in obedience. He showed us the way of obedience. The covenant that Abraham was made with Abraham and was sealed up with an oath was on the working of obedience. He said, because thou had obeyed me and you have not withheld your only son, he said, in blessing I will bless you. Prosperity, blessing, and all that you can think about in life does not come by wishing. Does not come by confession. Oh, confess it. It comes by obedience. So you must pray every day. Lord, as I go out today, in everything that is going to come my way, Lord, grant me the grace of obedience. And I stand under the blood of the Lamb and I make a covenant of obedience with you. And I speak ahead of time against spirits of disobedience. I command them to hold, to be bound in the name of Jesus. Obedience is the will of God for you. Obeying Him. Seeking to obey Him, waiting patiently to obey Him, delighting continuously in obeying Him, in small and in big matters. Number two, the consecration of service. We are called to serve Him. He said, you will serve me and I will bless you. So if you are saying, oh, I want to know the will of God, serve Him. So, oh, how do I know where to serve Him? How do I know how to serve Him? In what way do I know where to serve Him? That is very, very simple. God is not going to ask you to serve you, serve Him with what you don't have, what He has not given to you. Because it's not worship, according to Acts chapter 17. God is not served or worshiped as though He needed anything from you. So before you begin to ask, and what does He want me? First of all, ask, what has He given you? What has He given you? He called the servant, He gave them talents. He didn't say, go and get talent and come and serve me with it. He gave them that talent. He didn't say, okay, how many talents do you have? Okay, you have 5, but you are going to serve me. No. He gave it to them. So you must discover before you start querying, I don't know the will of God for the service. No. First of all, sit down and say, what do I have? And that's the question. Say, what do you have? What do you have? And dare you not say, I don't have anything. Because that will make you a big liar. That will make you a big liar. Don't ever say, I don't have anything before God. Peter and John were going to worship God in the temple and they saw this man who had been there. Oh, I love that passage. And I'm sure Peter will have called John and said, look at this man. This man has been there. Can't we do something? And they moved there. And he says, such as I have. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Father. We have something, brethren. You have something. God has given you something. Discover it. It's in you. He has given you. The Bible says, according as His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life, you have something. And that is what you are going to use to serve Him. He said, let my people go that they may serve me. But He gave them gold and silver. He didn't send them out empty. So that when they get to the wilderness, they will build the beautiful sanctuary for Him. And they will serve Him. So the Bible said, none of them were feeble. They have silver, they have gold in abundance. So you are going to serve Him. So don't start querying, I don't know. You know, once you know what He has given to you. Okay, let's help ourselves a little further. Say, oh, okay, what has He given to me? And I always ask, do you have the Holy Spirit? Are you baptized in the Holy Spirit? Have you received the gift of the Holy Spirit? Then you have what it takes to serve the living God. You have what it takes to serve the Most High God. The third one is the consecration of love. God's will is that we love. Love Him with all our hearts. That thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your might, with all your strength, with all your soul. And thou shalt love thy brethren as thyself. He said, upon this is all the commandments. So the consecration of love, love divine, loving the Father, loving Him so much that nothing is too hard for you. Oh, may the love of the Father compel us. He said, for the love of Christ has constrained us. May the love of Christ constrain you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. May you know how to live under that constraint. You want to do something and then you remember, oh, the love of Christ. I can't do that. I can't do that. I can't do that. No, I cannot do that. No. The love of Christ won't allow me to do that. It won't allow me. It won't permit me. I love Him so much. I can't bear looking at His face when He's not happy with me. I can't do that. No. I will not. Joseph said, oh God, will I do this against my God? No, I cannot do that. So the Bible said Daniel proposed in his heart. Nobody was supervising them to eat the food. He could eat it and clean his mouth and go as did. He said, no, I will not. He proposed in it. Why? Because of the love of the law of the Father. He loves the Father. He loves his God. So when you love Him up to the point that you are ready to give up anything, you are ready, you are doing His will. He said, oh, my child, I want you to wait upon me and pray this time. You are not rationalizing it. Oh, you know, today, he said, no, the love of the Father constrains you. We must be constrained by the love of the Father. In all the things we do, ask yourself, how is the love of a Father affected by this thing I'm doing? How is the love of a Father being affected in this thing I'm doing? God wants us to walk in love. Number four, and there are several others, but we'll just stop there and then move on. Number four, the consecration of giving. Giving is our priesthood duty. You must be consecrated and be ready to give. Give your time. Give your resources. Give all that you have. And God is going to bless you mightily. Give. Be a giver. Give your resources. It is the will of God. So somebody who is stingy, he can't give anything. And then he comes to the time of he wants to know which school to go. Say, God, show me your will. The one he has shown you, you have not done it. So these are the things, obeying God, serving Him with the spirit He has given to you. Loving God, loving His brethren, His children, and loving God with all your heart. And be ready to give. Give your time. So these are the elements in consecration that God has called you and is wanting you to walk in. And when you are walking in this, when these are a constant occurrence in your life, when your prayer revolves around this, if you need to pray, if you need to go to the Lord in prayer, say, God, give me more, the spirit of consecration. Oh, you want to pray whether I should go this way or go. Say, Lord, give me more the spirit of obedience. Lord, give me more the spirit to serve you more. Oh, a decision is before you and your Lord, give me the spirit of consecration. That one you are praying in line with the will of God, and he will answer you speedily. He said, when we ask anything according to his will, it is his will that you be consecrated. So when you ask him, he will give it to you immediately. And then that thing you are asking for will also come. The second one, our brother has led us in the prayer. God's will that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 4. And then Luke chapter 10 verse 2. God desire that all men be saved. The harvest is ripe. God wants us to go and preach the gospel. And particularly at this time in which we are in. And the next thing we are going to be entering into is a time of a great harvest. When all this lockdown and close down is over, when all these things is over and done with, away with, the post, all this thing is going to be a time of great harvest. Oh, brethren, you have never seen that kind of harvest. So be ready and be praying yourself towards it. Say, Lord, prepare me for the harvest work. Make me ready for the harvest work. God wants you to be an harvest instrument in his hand. That's number two. Number three, God desire your prosperity. He wills your prosperity. Both of your spirit, your soul, and your body. 3 John chapter 1 verse 2 to 4. He desire, he will it. He has made provision for your prosperity. Both in the spirit, in the soul, and in the body. Like I said last week, God is not interested that you are owing or in debt. God said we shall be lenders, not borrowers. Ebuto, you may not have plenty in the bank, but you must have something to pay back and leave. And you know, you are not owing anybody, you know. And if there's any, it's something that, you know, you may not have all the thousands, but at least you are living comfortably. That's why Paul said, having food and raiment, let us be there with content. You are content with that little that God has given to you. And when he know that, you are ready for more now, he will give you more. If what he know that you can manage now is $100, he will be giving you that $100. He won't give you $1,000. But that $1,000 will kill you. You can pray for it from now to kingdom come, he won't give it to you. Then when he know, now you are ready to handle $1,000, he will give you that $1,000. He doesn't need to go and fast and pray to give you $1,000. And when he know, this guy has grown, let me give him $100,000. He will give it to you just like that. So he command your prosperity. The Bible says he's the one that give us power to make wealth. And he delight in our prosperity. So it is the will of God that you should prosper. And you should be in health. Sound health. And you must know how to keep your body in sound health. Sickness is a dishonor to the body. God has provided for our soundness of our body. Even to old age. Sound, healthy body is what God has determined for you and me. Said, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. All round prosperity is the will of the Father. So you can pray it. You can pray it and say, Father, I know that you take pleasure in my prosperity. Therefore, Father, I release the power of prosperity in my life. When you find yourself poor or struggling in any area, you can pray that prayer. God will answer you. It is his will. And lastly, we are going to talk about number four, is that God wants you to live constantly in victory over the kingdom of darkness. That is the will of God for you. Not that one witches is flogging you in the night. Not that one demon is oppressing you. No. 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 He said, I gave unto you power to tread upon serpent and scorpion and upon all the powers of the devil, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. It is the will of God that you walk in victory over all the hearts of darkness. Those are the express will of God. And these are the line you can pray over yourself. When you pray in line with this will every day, God is answering you. In fact, he has already answered you. God determined that we should live in victory. Victory over principalities and power. Victory over Satan. He said, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory. He said, he that is born of God keepeth himself. That wicked one, that evil one cannot touch him. He is immunized, he is kept, he is preserved. He is not oppressed, he is not afflicted. He has learned the truth of the gospel. He has learned to love the will of the Lord. And therefore, he knows it and he walks in it. A scripture is just coming to my heart, and we will read it and summarize all this. I think it's in the book of John, still talking about the will of God. He said, he that knows the will of God, he that does the will of God, shall know the doctrine, whether it be of man or of God. John, I think somewhere. Okay, yeah, John chapter 7, verse 17. If any man will, that is, any man has purposed to do the will of God, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He will know of the doctrine. He will know the teaching of the Lord. He will have a knowledge. Not just a head knowledge, a working knowledge of the doctrine of Christ. He will know how to not just preach the word or talk about it, but he will know how to apply it. He will know how to walk and bring forth the fruit of the doctrine. Our brother, our brethren spend time to teach us Bible study early in the morning. Those are doctrines that they are giving to us. And if anyone hearing those teaching determine in his heart, I will do the will of God, that person will receive the knowledge, an additional knowledge or power to do those things that they are speaking of. So you will know the doctrine. All these things we are saying, they are all embedded in the doctrine of God and in the doctrine of Christ. You will know how to walk in victory. Praise the name of Jesus. Now, let's now talk about things that you don't know. For instance, where will I go to live after my graduation? I want to know where God wants me to go and stay. Whether he wants me to go to BC, or whether I want me to stay in Manitoba. I want to know the will of God in that. There's not any express, it's not written in the Bible. And when you finish, you go to a place called BC. It's not there. So you need to find that out. Or when it comes to the issue of life partner, things that are not expressly commanded, it's not there. All this one we have written, they have spoken about, they are expressly commanded. And when you are walking in this, and when you prepare your heart to walk in all this, then you come in contact with situation in your life that you need to make a decision. You need to walk in the will of the Father. You need to make a choice. Maybe you have even jobs. You have 2-3 jobs. You want to know the will of the Father. You want to know what the Father's will is in all this, like it happened to me recently. You want to know which one the Father is pointing his finger at. Or you have come to the age you want to marry. You have choices before you. You want to know which of these sisters, which of them will be the one that God has chosen for me. Now, let me reiterate this again. These are not something you come into accidentally. These are something that you must have built an history with God. You must have built an history with God in walking with Him. You must have learned these 4 things we have listed. And the 4 we have listed under consecration, you must have been familiar with them and walking in them and setting your heart always to walk in them. And so when the time comes to make a choice, to make a decision in a matter of life, in the matter of decision, God Almighty has given us a clear blueprint. And that is the blueprint we are going to follow. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. That's the blueprint. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I just worship you, holy and mighty God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Father. We bless you. We bless you. We bless you. So what do you do when you are in such a situation? We are going to pick example from the Bible. Men have come to such situations. What did they do? Let me phrase the question in another way. What do you do when you don't know what to do? When you are faced with a decision and you really don't know what to do. Now, that is something that must have characterized your life before then. And that is a delight to do the will of the Father. Jesus, thank you. Jesus, thank you. Jesus, thank you. Oh, Jesus, you are so consumed to do the will of the Father. You are so passionate about it. You know you have no life outside it. It's like, Lord, this is not about my choice. This is about yours. And because I am sold out to you and I must do your will, Holy Father, you have come to that state. You have come to that point where you must make a decision. And you know, for instance, if God wants you to work in BC, and you say, oh, my brethren are in Manitoba, they are in Winnipeg, I just want to be amongst them, and you use that to choose, you might miss a great thing about your life. Maybe the woman that God even wants you to marry, or the man, is there in BC. And then you say, no, because then you just go and marry somebody. Now, because of that little disobedience, you are already skewing away from God's will. Or God wants you to go and read in fact, we have a good example before us here. It's good to make it when we see something happen. One of our brother here, we all know him. He came to Canada to read a course in the university. I mean, everybody will love to be in university. Everybody will love to finish his, I know I've finished degree, I have my BSc in there, whatever. But he sought the Lord, and the Lord said, leave that thing, go and get a certificate. Go and get a certificate, just 1 year. He looks foolish. If he had come to tell somebody, I said, brother, are you sure? You came to read degree, Nigeria. There are so many parents that send there. I say, let your child go and do this. And they say, no, God forbid. If I don't, I say, God forbid. Polytechnic waiting. This brother went and sought God's face. God, what will I do? And God said, leave that thing, go into the. And to the glory of God, to the praise of God, that brother is walking in a place where even degree holders, even master holders, even PhD, if they get that kind of job, they will be sharing testimony and blessing God. That is the way of God. Those are simple examples for us that we can look at and say, look, it is better to just do it. No, it may not sound pleasurable. It may not look appealing. People may not even support it. But he sought the Lord. And the Lord said, leave that thing, go here. Now he's going on for his masters. He's reading on for his masters. And when he gets his master and go back, they will recognize it and say, look, you have masters. And it works on. So that's an example God has given to you and me. It's an example amongst us. Because God will never leave us without a witness. So when you delight, and a lot of reasoning must have come to his mind. What would my parents say? What would my brethren say? That I, you know? But he just turned it and went. So that is it. Now let's pick example from the scriptures. That is one amongst us. We remember Abraham's servant when the Lord sent him, when his master sent him to go and get a damsel for his master's son. Yes. Genesis chapter 24. Chapter 24, verse 13. When he got to the bank of the water, let's read it. He said, behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of men of the city come out to draw water, many of them, beautiful damsels. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she said, drink, and I will give thy damsel drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast shown kindness to my master. Now, we know all the story and how she went ahead and did all that. Now, let's see what he says. He said, I've been in the way the Lord has led me. Please, that's a verse. When he was talking to the parent, then we come to verse 27. There's something that we pick. That very important in knowing the will of the master. Okay. Oh, he's saying 27. I was looking at it. 27. Okay, so let's go there. Let's read it together. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute of my master his mercy and truth. Brethren, mark that word in your Bible, mercy and truth. When you follow those things he has already shown to, when you walk in obedience to him, you will never be destitute of mercy and truth. There's a lot of things we can say about mercy and truth. Because when I came to this verse and I look, I say, mercy and truth. He said, he has not left my master destitute. Brethren, we will not be destitute of mercy and truth in our life. You will not be destitute of it. That was what gave him the direction. Mercy and truth will always guide you. Mercy and truth will always show you the way. Then he now say, I then being in the way, the Lord led me. You must be in the way for the Lord to lead you. The way is what we have already listed. Those things that were express will of God is the way. Jeremiah 6:16 says, seek ye the way, the old way. Walk therein. Then you will find rest for your soul. You must be in the way of obedience, the way of consecration, the way of giving, the way of love. You must love that way. You must delight in that way. The way of being a vessel to preach the gospel, interceding for nations, interceding for the loved ones, desiring that men will come to the knowledge of truth, passionately praying for salvation of men. You are in the way, brother. You are in the way. You are in the way. Desiring not to live in poverty, knowing that poverty is a shame to the Father. And you look at it and the enemy say, well, you know, your parents, they hardly had money to send you to school. In fact, they borrowed the one. So poverty, said, they said, no way. No way. You are so enlightened. They said, no way. Hallelujah. It shall never be. It shall never be. A brother was preaching. He goes everywhere preaching. He came back one day and the wife said, oh, sorry, honey. I look everywhere. There is no food, you know, in the house. You know, and he's a very quiet woman. She doesn't like going about troubling people. Say, oh, borrow me, Gary. Let me make snow. So she just sit down there. The husband came back and said, honey, there is nothing. It's only this little. The man stand and look up and say, God, I am not serving myself, I'm serving you. Today will never be a repeated thing in my day, in my home again. In fact, I curse this day. This day will never see any light again in my life. He rebuked that thing. He rejected it. And I tell you today, if you go to that hospital, when they serve you food, you will think they are serving you think they are serving 10 people. When the table is made for one person to come and eat, say one person, say you go to the house and say, oh brother, I've come to visit you. Oh wow, well, let's make food for you. By the time they set the table for you, you'll be wondering, is this food only for me? They say it's only for you. But if the brother had come back and had said, okay, I don't know, he will have continued in that way.
That is it.
But he knew that is not God's will. So he stopped. He said, no, this will never happen again. And that stopped. When you know what God has determined for you, when you are instructed enough to know what God has determined for you, you will not settle for anything less.
Nothing less.
You will not settle for anything less. I told you of a friend that came and they told him, oh, everybody is doing care work. Go and do it. Go and do it. He said, no, me? No. He's a nominal Christian. He said, no. Today now he's a PhD holder. University is running after him to employ him. So you know. And when you are walking in that way, when your mind is so instructed about what God has determined and will for you, you are in the way. The Lord will always lead you.
Amen.
You will never miss whatever decision you need to make. You will never miss it.
Amen.
You will never miss it. Say, I've been in the way of consecration, the way of honoring the Father with my life. The Lord led me to the house of my master's bread. Because in the land he went to, there are a lot of people, a lot of families. He could have just gone there and take any wife from anybody and say, oh, this is not my family anyway. It's from my town. But he said, go to my house. So he needed that leading. So the first thing is, one, you will not be destitute of mercy and truth. And I want to talk about that. Mercy and truth. Mercy and truth.
Hallelujah. Glory, glory.
God employ this in all the dealings with his servants that serve him with all their hearts. Everyone that truly and truly following those things you already know, walking in consecration, walking in love, even though sometimes things might look precarious, things might not add up for them, but they held on. The book of, I think Psalm 50 said, it said, okay, let's read it and then we come back. We are coming back to this one and then we take other ones. Psalm 50. Psalm 50. Is it 59 or 58? What are you asking? It said, who of you that walk in the way of the Lord? Sorry, Isaiah. Isaiah 50, sorry. Isaiah 50. Isaiah 50. Who is among you that feared, we're going to talk about that, that obeyed the voice of his servant, walking in consecration of obedience. Yeah. Verse 10. But now he's walking in darkness. He doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know what choice is in the decision making, and he doesn't know which choice to make. Should I go to the left or to the right? He's in darkness. He needs to make a very important decision. But he feared the Lord. And secondly, he obeyed the voice of his servant. He knows the doctrine of Christ. He's walking in it. But in spite of that, he's still walking in darkness. There are still things in his life he can't resolve. There are still situations in his life he can't really answer. There are still some controversy about his life. What did he say? He said, and had no light. He doesn't even know which way to go. He doesn't even know what choice, but he's in darkness. He said what? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon God. Stay upon him. Don't move. Don't say, oh, I have waited for so long, I beg, let's do something. After all, somewhere said that heaven help those who help themselves. Which chapter is that in the Bible? Which book is that? You know, where is that? Heaven help those who help themselves. According to, please remind me, which chapter?
It's not in the Bible.
It's not in the Bible. Oh, thank you very much. He said, heaven help. No, it never heaven. Once you can help yourself, you don't need help from heaven. You don't need any help. Once you can help yourself, then why will heaven be helping you? So he said, what? Wait, stay upon his God. That is the lifestyle of those who have made a covenant with him by sacrifice. They are not eager. They are not, if they are not there, they don't want to sprinkle. They don't. Okay, let's read verse 11. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourself about with spark, walk in the light of your fire. Just go ahead and do your will. Do, hey, I've waited, I didn't see anything. I just pick anybody. I just do anything. He said, walk. He said, and the spark, and ye shall kill. He said, this you will have from my hand. You will lie down in sorrow. You will lie down in sorrow. When I have not told you to do something, and then because of pressure of life, or then you say you will lie down in sorrow. So you can be doing all these things and yet be walking in darkness and don't have light. Yes, I've witnessed that. Many of you have witnessed that you are doing all you can do. You are praying, you are walking in all these things, yet you are still in darkness. There's no light. You are still in obscurity. You don't know what to do. You don't know where to go. You have a choice. You don't know. You are still confused. What did the Bible say? It says, stay upon your God. Don't be afraid. Trust in him. He will come. He will never come late. The time he come is the right time. He said in Psalm 46, he said, the Lord is my refuge and my fortress. My God. No, Psalm 46. Psalm 46 now.
God is our refuge and strength.
Thank you very much. Thank you. God is our refuge and strength. A present help in time. Therefore, will not we, though the earth be removed.
Yes.
What can you do when the earth is removed? Your earth is removed. You are floating. You can't stand. And not only the earth was removed, though the mountains be carried, the place of your safety, where you can hide, where you can run to, is carried and thrown into the midst of the sea. And that is not even enough. The sea is now roaring against you. And trouble everywhere. And the mountains are shaking. You can't even ask. What did he say? Go on to the next verse.
There is a river.
There is a stream thereof. Shall make glad the city of God. The place of the tabernacle of the Most High. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help you and death right early. He never come late. Oh, brethren, Lord, don't ever be in haste. Oh, you say 1 year has passed. Who tell you? 1,000 years, just a day before him. So how many minutes is 1 year? How many seconds is 1 year? Oh, say 2 years. I've not said that's nothing. 1,000 years a day. Divide it. Go and find the ratio. You find that a 1 year is possibly 0.00 of a second. Because the God you are dealing with is a timeless and an ageless one. He doesn't age. He doesn't grow with time. Hallelujah. So let's go back to that and look at mercy and truth. Because we all need mercy and truth, brethren. And we must always lay claim to it. Because that is what is going to lead you. God will never lift up. There are a lot of scripture we can look at in mercy and truth. But that one is for another day. There are a lot of things about mercy and truth that is relevant for our day. And God will never let any of his servants be destitute of it. So, be not destitute of it. Whenever you come into a situation, like we have described in Isaiah 50, you have prayed, everything has been done, but yet there is still darkness. Cling to mercy and truth. That is what will guide you. Like the pillar of cloud in the day and the pillar of fire in the night, so is mercy and truth to his people. To lead them into the resting place. And as long as they follow that mercy and truth, as long as they keep following it, they will never miss the way. And they will always come to the rest. What is his mercy? And of course, his mercy always go with his grace. His mercy and grace always go together. His mercy and grace always go together. So he said, come boldly before the throne of grace and mercy. So what is it that it is his mercy? That is the prerogative of God. That is the sovereignty of God. And when you are in a situation and you begin to appeal to his mercy, and you begin to appeal to his grace, you are touching the central heart of the Father. If there's a prayer that Father cannot wait to answer immediately, it's a cry for mercy.
Hallelujah.
And grace. Learn to cry for mercy. Say, Lord, when you come to pray, say, Lord, have mercy. Have mercy. He said in the book of Psalms, he said, God does not delight in the horse. Not in the leg of him, but the Lord delight in them that hope in him and trust in his mercy. He's the prerogative of God. He has the prerogative of man. He said, I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. And in Christ, he has decided to choose you as a vessel of mercy. Whatever you are, whatever you will ever be is accounted for, it is mercy. Great is his mercy towards us. And know about that mercy. Never you forget it. His mercy endureth forever. See at the scripture in several ways and in several places. It never fails. I wish when God came into the garden that morning, that cool of the day, and met them naked, they had just come and asked for his mercy. Rather than pointing finger, they had been instructed enough to know that, look, what we need now is the mercy of the Father. And Adam had come and frustrated and said, Father, have mercy on me. We will not be in the same position we are in. Therefore, brethren, cleave unto the mercy of the Father. If you don't know what else to pray for in your situation, don't begin to pray anyhow. After praying in tongues, and you still feel you want to pray, and you don't know what to pray in understanding, just say, Father, have mercy. It's the prerogative of the, that is his sovereignty. That is his sovereign act. That he doesn't explain why he showed mercy. And he doesn't hold anybody any explanation why he chooses mercy. And when you learn to rest and trust in his mercy, when you know that all your life it is all about his mercy, you will always find mercy and truth. And it will always lead you. His mercy will always show you the way. His truth is his eternal foundation. It is unshakable. Let all other things fail. His truth is never can never fail. He said, let all men be liar. God is true. Once have thou spoken, but twice have I heard that power belongs to you. His truth is the basis of all judgment. Oh, yes. All direction, it is founded on his truth. It's the sure foundation. Said I laid in Zion for a foundation, a stone. That stone is the stone of truth. His name is truth. He's the truth. He's the way. He's the life. And when you are not destitute, he will never keep you destitute of it. When you are such that love his word, that love his word. He said, somewhere he said, blessed is the man that loved thy law, isn't it? He said, blessed is the man that loved thy law. Nothing shall offend him. Where is that again? When you love his truth, you chew it, you meditate on it, you desire it, you walk in the light of his truth, you delight in it with all your heart, you follow the light of the truth. Psalm 119, verse 165. Let's read it. Can you put it on the screen? Psalm 119.
Great peace, they which love thy law.
Yes. Can this thing be taken away? This thing.
Don't worry. Cannot it shall offend them.
Great peace have they which love thy law. Nothing shall disturb them. Nothing shall offend them nor disturb them. Great peace of are they that love thy law. Nothing shall offend them. When you are a lover of the law of God,
hallelujah,
you love the truth of God's word. And you always hinge on his mercy. You can never miss it. in the choice of life. You can never make a wrong decision. When you know the abundance of his mercy, he said, the servant of Abraham blessed God. He said, blessed be God who have not left my servant destitute of mercy and truth. And I tell you, brother and sister, through the grace of Jesus, through the offering of Jesus, God will never leave his children destitute of grace and truth. Hallelujah. Of mercy and truth.
Hallelujah.
He's always there. The Spirit of God you have received is the Spirit of mercy and truth. As many of us as are baptized into the Spirit of God, we are baptized into the riches of his mercy and of his truth. But you must be in the way. I've been in the way. You must be in the way. Keep yourself in the way. Which way? The way of consecration. The way of desiring to spread the gospel, which many of you have already been so devoted to. Indeed, all of you. Devoted to spreading the gospel. I said yesterday, who is ready to be a missionary to go forth? And everybody said, ah, I want to go. Because everybody here is desirous. People have gone, take money, buy table, buy a pamphlet, go to the university, go to a pub, and begin to share the tracts. They could have used that time. They are newly married, for God's sake. They can just, you know, enjoy themselves, drive around, go to this thing. They went seeking for the lost soul. Some left and went down to the downtown where there are a lot of things without fear. They were preaching the gospel because this truth has already, you are already in the way. Keep walking in that way. Don't be deviated. And I can see the love of the brethren amongst you. So deep and so great is the love that God has shed in our midst. Loving each other, loving the Lord. Continue. And I see the teaching that our ministers give to us on how we need to walk in victory. Go back and listen to all those Sunday teaching, those Bible study. They are all about walking in victory over the kingdom of darkness.
Hallelujah. Glory.
How that you should not allow unclean spirit to lecture you, to teach you. How that you should not listen to unclean spirit. Our brother took time to explain how they work. That you may know how to walk in the way. So every one of you must be proficient in defending and in keeping his territory. No unclean spirit. You are not listening to any unclean spirit. When you are doing all this and walking in the truth, God will always ensure you are not destitute of grace, of mercy, and of truth. He will teach you the doctrine. He will show you the way. And whatever choice you made at that point, it will be 100% of God.
Amen.
When you are full of mercy and truth, any decision you make at that point, God is with you.
Hallelujah.
When you are walking in the way and you make a decision and say, Lord, based on this is what I am deciding I'm going to do. Because of his mercy and truth also that you are not destitute of. Even if it was wrong, God will intervene at the right time. Oh, say, oh my God, I thought I was right. Say, Father, thank you. And then you go back again. Say, because I love you. Say, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him from trouble. I will honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him. God will honor them that honors him. If you honor him with your life, he will honor you. you are at the brink of making a wrong decision or choosing a wrong will, he will intervene. He will shine the light and let you know, no, my son, no, don't go there. Samuel was to go and anoint the king. And he got there, he saw a man lofty and high. I said, oh, surely. God pulled his hair. I said, no, 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 that's not it. Because he is a man that have been walking in the way of God. This is a man that have known the word of God. God said, no, that's I've not chosen him. Now, neither him, neither him. So you come to that point in your choice, in making decision. And I want us to hinge on that point and really drive it home. Where really, really, really you don't know what to do. And you must make a choice. But your heart is already settled to do the will of God. Even if the will doesn't look appealing to you, even if it doesn't look sensible, even if it defies all the reasoning of man's logic, that you are set to do his will. You are not judging after the sight of men. You are in the days of you have learned to eat the butter and the milk. You have been disciplined and trained to love the will of God, to love the law of God. And then you come to this situation. You can always 100% call upon his mercy. And he will always intervene. That's a scripture that is always, about all scripture, but this particular one is always, you know, coming to my heart in such situation. And I want us to read it. 2 Chronicles. There are two of them actually, but we will take them one by one. Second Chronicle, chapter 20. Jehoshaphat was in a real trouble. Three kings were coming. Now, let's look at it. When you read the previous verses, Jehoshaphat has taken time to build up his armory. The military might of Israel at that time was strong. And he could easily call for help. Three nations are coming against him: Moab, Ammon, and Syrian. They were all coming. He could have easily just sent help to Israel, Edom, and other allies, and with his own might. That's what other king did, and we'll go there later. These are examples. These are things that you can always look at. Now, let's see what Jehoshaphat did. Verse 3. And Jehoshaphat feared. And Jehoshaphat feared. And we all come to that situation. When you are afraid, and like I was talking to my family some days back, I said, fear is not a problem. It's the fear of fear that is a problem. Many fears are necessary as long as it drives you to God. So the Bible says Jehoshaphat feared. But what did he do? He set himself to seek the Lord. Because he's a man that had been walking in the way of the Lord. And what did he do? He proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And what did he do? Verse 4. And Judah gathered himself together to ask help of the Lord, even out of all the city. And let us see what Jehoshaphat says. Where he was praying. Which verse was that? It said, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. I'm just looking for that phrase so that we can move on. Verse 6. Is it verse 6? Hallelujah.
That's it,
12.
12, thank you very much. Thank you. Our God will thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company. That nobody will want to say that. Nobody will want to admit that. But those who have known the secret of his mercy and truth, they will not be ashamed to admit that, Lord, I don't know what to do. Look at what he said again. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. So when you come to a situation where you don't know what to do, fix your gaze upon him. That's what we read in Isaiah 50. He said, even though there is darkness, he says, stay upon him. Fix your gaze upon him. He said, but our eyes are upon thee. And wait upon him. And he will surely show up. He will never come late. And what happened at that battle? Do they need to fight at all? No. God himself went forth and slay all the only duty they had to do was to gather the spoil. That's all. That's all they need to do. They don't even need to. God just said, okay, look. In this battle, I will fight. Just sing to me. Just praise me. And that is what it is. Those who have sought him and wait upon him. One thing God will give to you, will give you a song in the night. How do you know you have sought the face of God? How do you know you have waited upon him? In that night season, he will give you a song. You will be singing in the midst of trouble, and people will be wondering, this brother knows what he's doing. Look at you. You have no job. You are finishing for, you don't have job. You are still singing. He will have a song in the night. He will be able to lift up his hand in the sanctuary in the night and bless the Lord. He's not filled with self-pity. He's not filled with despondency and discouragement and depression. No. In the midst of that night, darkness all around, he's still able to lift up his hand and bless the Lord in the night season and worship the Lord. And God will give him a song. Hallelujah. I love that when God gives you a song. Oh, yes. God will give you a song. When you know to follow the line of his mercy and truth, you will never be destitute of song, even in the night. So he said, God said to them in this battle, don't worry to go, just be singing. I'm sorry, the commander-in-chief, the military might, I said, Mr. President, sir, please, I have an objection in this case. I have an objection, a serious one. We are going to a battle, not a singing concert. We are talking about three enemies. They are not there. There is not a singing concert. You said we should gather choir. Do you know? Look, if you are not careful, I'm going to take over the command right now. This is not a singing convention, Lord, my master. We are talking about army that are ready to kill you. Kill everyone. And then you say singing. But what did the Lord say to them? What did the Lord say to them? What did the Lord say? Verse 20. And they arose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And they went forth. Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophet, his truth, so shall ye prosper. Then he consulted with the people, and that they should all praise the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. Hallelujah. And as they went out before the army, they said, what? Praise the Lord. For the Lord is good and his mercy.
Forever. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, that you might sing of his mercy.
Hallelujah.
His mercy endureth forever. Disappointed singers. Oh, in the night season, learn how to appoint singers. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord a joyful song unto the Lord. Sing to him a new song. Rather than calling a pity party. Rather than looking for somebody to come and pray for you. Sing unto the Lord. Say, which song, Lord? For his good, for his mercy endureth forever. He said, let the redeemer of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed out of the hands of his enemy. Say what? The Lord is good and his mercy endureth forever. Say so. Say the Lord is good. Praise the Lord, for he is good. And his mercy endureth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. Oh, for his mercies endureth forever. Hallelujah. Sing of his mercy. Sing of his mercy. The Lord is good and his mercy endureth forever. Mercy and truth will never fail. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
For he is good.
Oh yes, oh yes.
And his mercy.
His mercy.
Forever.
Amen. Glory, 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 glory to the Lamb of God that was slain. Oh, Jesus.
His mercies endure forever.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, Jehovah. The Lord is good. Amen.
And his mercy.
Oh, endure
forever.
Hallelujah. That is the song. So when you are in such situation, sing of his mercy. Never forget it. And when you learn to sing of his mercy, and his truth will come and guide you to the place that you are supposed to be. He said, thy truth shall be what? My shield and my buckler. His truth will defend you. Oh, may we learn to wait upon him. Seek his face. Stay upon him. Don't kindle your own fire. Wait upon him. When you are not sure, when you are not certain, when you have to make a decision and something is coming up and you are not sure, may you have set your heart to do God's will. Just sing to him. Praise the Lord, for he is good and his mercies. Just sing to him. In the midst of that darkness, the light will shine. His truth will burn in your heart. And it will tell you, my son, this is the way. Walk ye in it. You will hear a voice behind you. You will hear a voice in the night. The light will break through the dark region. And then you will know. It might come through counsel from godly men. It might come in various ways, for God chooses various ways. But like I told us last week, God has installed his spirit in us that he might lead us by his spirit. For as many as are led by the spirit, they are the sons of God. Whatever any man will bring will have been something the Spirit has nudged you. Only maybe you were not able to pick it. So you now remember and say, oh yes, oh. So that's what the Lord is saying. Because the Spirit had already bear witness with your spirit. Maybe something else was too much paramount in your mind. And it will guide you. Oh, may we allow the shepherd of the sheep to lead us. And we will never miss it. Just wait upon him. Just wait upon him. Amen. 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 Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The other child, the other one, it was, we will not go to it because that will take time. We want to answer these four questions. There was also a time when the king of Israel had the same problem. And immediately he sent for Jehoshaphat. He said, come, Jehoshaphat, come and help me. My enemy are fighting against me. And he called for Jehoshaphat. He come at him for the king of Edom or whatever. And the Bible said they came. They came. And as they were going, there was no water. There was thirst. That means the battle is already lost. Because how can you take a soldier to the field and they are thirsty? They don't have strength. So, the king of Israel, being what he is, because he's idolatrous, he has many gods he's serving. Immediately, he turned into panic mode. He just turned the key to panic mode. Ah, the Lord has brought us together to destroy us. I know. You know, God has brought us. He wants to just sell us over. But thank God for Jehoshaphat, because he's already known the way of the Lord. He asked him, he said, is there no prophet? Is there no man of God in this land that we can inquire? Let's go and inquire of the Lord. And he said, oh, there is one. There is one, I think, Elisha. And they went there. And I love what transpired there. I love that statement the man of God said. And you should take that statement with you. So when they went to the man of God looked at them. He said, look, I am not going to attend to you. Ah, the man switched over again to panic mode. I have said it. But the man has said something, and that's very instructive for you and me to take with you when you are in such situation. The man said, are we in that chapter? Oh, praise God. Thank God for technology. And Elisha said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, surely we are it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat. Hallelujah. The king of Judah. I will not look towards thee, nor see thee. Hey. Surely. Were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah. That is the mercy of God speaking. When you come to God, don't come based on your righteousness. Don't come based on, I have prayed for 7 hours. You know, God must answer me. Ah, I have paid the tithe, all the offering. I have given to people. Oh, I have preached all over. I am the man of God. God must answer me. Don't come in that mode. He said, I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat. God speaking through a man. Through Elijah, the Lord of hosts. Speaking. God regard the presence of Jehoshaphat. Ah. Brethren, you have more than Jehoshaphat with you.
Hallelujah.
I don't know what you are thinking about yourself, but you have somebody more than Jehoshaphat. So even if God will not hear you because of you, maybe you have done something wrong or whatever, he will hear you because of the greater than Jehoshaphat. The Holy Spirit of God is in you. The presence of Jesus, power of the Holy Spirit is within you.
Hallelujah.
What does Jehoshaphat have compared to the presence of the Holy Spirit? So when you go to God, he will surely hear you.
Amen.
He regards the presence of his Holy Spirit. So when you come by the power of the Holy Spirit. Say, Lord, I come in boldness before the throne of grace and mercy. Not upon my righteousness, upon anything, nothing. I just come because of Jesus. And I always say to God, I said, even if you will not answer me, because Jesus is my own, you must. And do you know what? Do you know what? The Bible said Jesus is at the right hand of God, making intercession for you. Jesus is now standing in the place of Jehoshaphat for you. He's your advocate. He's your shorty. So even if God will not do certain things because of you, when he hears Jesus talking to him about you, he will do it. He must do it.
Hallelujah.
So when you are in a situation and you look everywhere, don't worry yourself. Just look unto him. Amen. The Bible said they look unto him and they were not ashamed. You will never be ashamed. Amen. Jesus is never against you. Your representative in the house of death cannot be against you. He's the one representing you. He's your advocate. He's your lawyer. When you go and hire a lawyer, your lawyer cannot be arguing against you in the court. He cannot take a stand against you. It's not acceptable. You have hired him. But thank be to God who gave us a much bigger lawyer. In the court of justice of heaven, he stands to defend you. And his blood make atonement for you. That's why he said we have come to the blood of the sprinkling. That speaketh better things than the blood of Abel. He said, we have come to Jesus Christ, the mediator. We have come to God, the judge of all.
Hallelujah.
So what will God say? God in you will speak to the devil and say, Satan, the Lord rebuke you.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Under the Old Testament, God had to speak that. But in the New Testament, he speak that through you. Your spirit just rises and says, Satan, the Lord rebuke you. Get out of this matter. It's between me and the Father. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So he said, were it not for the presence of Jehovah. And each time I say, oh God, you mean God so respect the presence of a man, ordinary man, Jehoshaphat. Ah, my Jesus is bigger than Jehoshaphat.
Hallelujah.
And as long as he's there at the right hand of majesty, it is well with me.
Yes.
I have an access, an unhindered access. Every petition I made of God, I know I receive it of him. Because my heart is set to do his will. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So that is it, my brethren. You have known how to know the will of God. Walk in his way. Walk in the ones you have known. When you are still in darkness, in spite of that you are walking in it, stay upon him. Don't move. Don't kindle your own fire. Tell him, Father, please clarify this thing more. He will. If you say, give me 3 witnesses, he will give you 4. The Bible says he's not weary. He's not tired. He didn't say, ah, yesterday you came. Then you'll be like, no, I won't answer you again. No. He will come and he will answer you. He will show you the way to go. He's a loving Father. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So do we feel like going to him?
Yes.
Yes, please go to him. Go to him. Never you run away from him. Oh, have you been walking? Have you not been walking in those 4? Is there any aspect of those 4 things? That you are not walking in. Don't even beat yourself down. That's why Jesus is there. The Bible says we have a mediator. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Go to him and say, Lord, I know I have failed you in this area. I know I have failed you, but I come today, Lord, have mercy upon me. And because of his mercy and truth that he keep for you. The Bible saying, let the Lord keep mercy and truth for the righteous. There's so much we can talk about, but we won't go to it today. He keep it for you. He keep it in stock for you. He's always there before him. He keep it. He will always hear you. Hallelujah. The Lord will always hear you, brethren. Pray to him from the depth of your heart. Ask for his will. When you have asked, ask him to prepare his heart to prepare your heart to do his will. Delight yourself in doing his will. Don't go around doing your own thing. Say, God, I want to do your will. Just lead me in your way, in the way of your will. Just lead me in the pathway of your will. And he will always gladly lead you. May the Lord continue to shine his light upon you. May the Lord continue to give you song, even in the dark season.
Amen.
When you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, may his staff and his rod continually comfort you. Oh, may you hear a voice behind you saying in the night, this is the way, walk ye in it. You will never group in darkness. Let's love him with all our hearts. Let's seek him with all our passions. Let's lay flat before his presence. Let's tell him, Father, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are upon you. And he will gladly come in to help you. He is a willing Father and a loving Father. May the Lord continue to bless us in Jesus' name. So we go straight to the questions. And some of the questions will also expatiate on what we are saying. Question number one. Is the will of God for a person's life singular, or can there be multiple purpose, or can there be multiple will at a time? That is the will of God for somebody singular, or can there be multiple of the will of God? And I will answer it by saying yes. The will of God for you is singular. God is not confusing you. And when you keep that singular will before you, all other ones will align themselves. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way. And when you learn to walk in the way, you will always know all other things that you need to know. What am I saying? The will of God for you is to manifest Christ's life in you. Any other thing you are craving for, you want a house, you want a new job, you want to marry, any other thing, they are all secondary. So he said to us, seek ye first the kingdom of God, that is the will of God, and all his righteousness, and all other things, which are the other thing we are looking for, will be added. So the will of God for you is singular. And when you make that your singular pursuit, Paul said, this one thing I do. One thing, not two. David, I'm sure he picked it from David. He said in Psalm 27, said, one thing have I desire, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the temple. Oh, as a king, there are a lot of things he could desire. He could desire many wives. He could desire many countries to conquer many. He could desire gold and silver. But he has come to a point having war because one thing have I desire, that will I seek after. So this question, the answer is yes. There is only one singular, and don't miss it around. All other things are additions. They are things God added to it. Don't mistake them. So when you are in the way of Christ, you are working on consecration, of obedience, of service, of loving God. You are walking in obedience. You are not walking disobedient. You are walking in the way. You are in the way. One thing you have desire, to be like him, to manifest him, to seek his face. Mary and Martha had a lot of things to do. And there was it Martha or Mary? One of them went and said, there is only one thing that is necessary, Mary. And she has taken it, and nobody can take it away from him. So, wherever us ask this question, I'm telling you that the only singular will of God for you is to manifest Christ through you. And when you allow him to have his way in manifesting Christ, all other things will work out itself. Even the one you don't even remember to ask. Even the one you don't even know, I don't even know this. God will say, look, this pertains to those who love me. That is what the Bible called the inheritance of those that fear the Lord. We come to that. That is what the Lord called, he said, he has delivered us from the power and he has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. He said he has given us the inheritance among them that are sanctified. That is the inheritance of the saints in light. That is what the Bible called the inheritance of the saints in light.
Now you don't know it. Say, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has he entered what God has reserved for those that love him. You don't know it. You can't even pray it. Maybe it's what you know you pray, except you pray it in the spirit. But God even does things, he will bring it to you.
Amen.
He will walk you into it. And you say, oh, Father, say, yes, it's part of you. It's part of what is due to you. And you just be walking on. Why? Because you have made him your primary pursuit. You have chosen the one way. He said, Mary, I've chosen that way and nothing can take it away from him. What did she do? She just sit at the feet of the master. Paul say, I forget all other things. This one thing we must seek in our life, that we might manifest his life, that Christ might be glorified in us, that we might reveal his character, that when he look at you from heaven, he will say, well done, my son. He said in that day, well, I will tell them, I don't know you. Oh, we have preached in your name. We have cast, I don't know you. You workers of iniquity. May he know you and be filled with his life. Oh, God, may you be filled with the fullness of God.
Amen.
The fullness of God, may it fill you day by day. And then you will be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You will never be destitute. So that is the answer. Only one pursuit, not two. Jesus Christ. Seek after him. Seek after him. And all other things will come in at the right time. All other things. They will just come in. They are all additions. And when you seek him, when you talk about ministry, you will flow into your ministry. You don't even need to be, people are asking, oh, what ministry am I? You are not following him. You are distracted. Oh, yeah, you don't ask for which ministry you are. Because you are a waiter. Whatever ministry, the world is a waiter. You are just waiting on him. The first ministry is to wait upon him. In Mark chapter 3, verse 5, there he said, these 12 he has chosen to be with him and to send them forth. First of all, when you are with him, then he will send you forth. And when he sends you forth, you come back to him and he tell you, okay, that's okay, you sit down. So your own may just be to talk to somebody and that person is saved and that's all. God doesn't want any other thing you are doing. It's just, you know, just filling up the time. Some of you women, your womb is so ordained to bring forth a prophet of the Most High God. A prophet of God is ordained to be brought forth from your womb. That is the reason why God saved you. That's the reason why God called you. Oh, you may want to go and do evangelism and preach. And oh, it's all good. It's good. You can do all that. But the reason is that there is a seed that God has determined to come from your womb that is going to bless the whole nations of mankind. When we are coming to Christ, the Lord gave us a specific word. There is no ambiguity about it. He said, this is a strategic placement. A strategic placement. And it's not to run up and down. It's a strategic placement. And over the years, I have seen the performance of this. Seek the Lord alone. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Now, the second question. How do you fear God? I wanted to talk about the fear of God when we are talking about consecration, but I reserve it for here. I don't understand how to do this practically. Is it mechanical? Because the person might be a mechanical engineer. You know, so he just says, is it mechanical? Oh, you learn to be in the spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. We have two mechanical engineers in the making here. So Amen. Hallelujah. How do we fear the Lord? Because if you don't know how to fear the Lord, you have not begun your walk with Him. In the book of Malachi, he said, if I be a father, where is my honor? He said, if I be a master, where is my fear? God is asking, where is my fear? God is demanding you to fear Him. And what? And how do I know you are growing in the fear of God? Number one, you will fear no man and no devil. When you see anybody, which is Satan, devil, is this thing, he still not know how to fear God. And that's why I said last week, and somebody asked a question. I said, Jesus is the Lord of all the hosts, whether of heaven or of the earth or of the devil. Mm-hmm. Many people think that the devil is on his own. He can just wake up one day and say, I want to go and trouble that sister. It's a lie. Can just wake up one morning and say, that brother is praying too much. I want to go and trouble. It's a lie. The devil is under the payslip of God. It's only that you'll be paid with death and destruction. He's a servant of God whose hand is to be destroyed, just like any other human servant that are not serving Him the right way. We destroy them all with the devil. So he's not on his own, running rampage, and God is trying to run after him to stop him by any means. He goes there and, hey, God, hey, the devil has come here again, and he repair it. No, 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 no. God is not running after the devil. No. He is Lord of hosts.
Yes.
And when you learn to fear God, the devil become infinitesimal. He become a dummy variable, inconsequential. You can see that in the life of David. Everybody saw Goliath and they were afraid. And of course, rightfully so, they must be afraid. Because this is a man who has been a warlord from his youth. He beat everybody height in every area. Even Saul, who was head and soldier, above, he was a dwarf before Goliath. He was afraid. He couldn't move. And this little boy, hallelujah, who have learned to fear God in the closet, who have learned to seek God, came and saw and said, who is this dead dog that he should defy the army of God? Said, I will go against him. You are not afraid. One of the indices that you are already walking in the fear of God is that you fear no man and no devil. That is just put that one on one. But how do we walk? How do we develop an habit in the fear of the Lord? It is very important, my brethren. Because that is one thing that the church of 21st century have lost. The church of the 21st century have lost that thing called the fear of God. It's rampant everywhere. Everybody doing what seemed right in his sight. Jesting and giggling has taken over. No seriousness anymore. Jesting have taken over. No fear of God, the sanctuary of God. People does anything because no fear of God anymore. But I must tell you, my brother and sister, that we are entering the time when God is going to restore that fear into the house. And that might mean the death of some. That might mean the cutting off of some. The time is coming, brethren, and we are moving fast to that time when all the gimmicks and all the things that are tolerated in the house of God will no longer be tolerated. He said the judgment will start from the household of faith, and if the righteous be scarcely saved, what will be the end of the wicked? So brethren, begin to teach yourself. And begin to learn by the Spirit how to fear God and reverence Him in His house, in His holy temple. Said the Lord is in His holy temple. Let all flesh be silent. Learning to fear Him is the key to your deliverance and your salvation in that which we are moving into as the church of the living God. When the church in the act of apostles begin to grow and things begin and the enemy, the Lord move, it caused the death of a family, Ananias and Sapphira. And the Bible says everybody was afraid. Everybody was afraid. There was fear all over. Nobody wanted to join themselves with them. And then we have another one in the day of David. Oh, the Philistines have just brought the ark with a good idea. They bring it on the cart. We have never seen that fashion before. It's a new order. A new thing. And the church is going after a new thing. This is the world, as the way the world is doing it. The church is becoming worldly. The world is becoming churchy. There is so much of mixture right now. But there is a 7,000 that have not bowed down their knee to bow. There are people that right now, they don't know the difference between Baal worship and God worship anymore. As far as they are concerned, they are all the same. In the church of the living God, Baal is being worshipped as God. But I tell you, brother and sister, it shall not be for long. The Elijah is coming fast. The Elijah company is coming. God is preparing the little whip. The Bible says he went into the sanctuary and whipped them out. Said, don't turn my father's house to the place of buying and selling. He whipped them out. I tell you, we are entering that time. It's not far away. He's coming. Get ready. Don't play around with him. He's bigger than you. Don't play around with God. He will not tolerate them in the days ahead. Get serious with God. Get on your knee and pray. Say, God, have mercy on me. The day is upon us, brethren. Where we must talk to ourselves the fear of the Lord. Now let's get to it. What is the fear of the Lord? God has an order. Any deviation from the due order that God has instituted by His Spirit is an affront against God, and God will not tolerate it. Any deviation from the due order. And then somebody will ask me, what is the order? The order we have is the order of the kingdom. Those of us in this way, the way is the way of the kingdom. We have been called out of the church system to be a people, a kingdom unto Him. The order is the order of the kingdom of God. It's all about his kingdom. And when you don't learn to walk by the order of the kingdom, it's a dishonor to the king. And many who have walked that pathway, many do not live to tell what happened. So what are we saying? The due order is the order of total submission. Complete obedience to the will of God. Seeth ye a man that have learned the way of obedience? The way of seeking God and seeking to do his will. And I will show you a man that has learned to fear God. So it's all part of what we are talking about. Jesus Christ, the Bible says, even though he were a son, he learned obedience by the things he suffered. And the Bible says, after he had prayed with much agony and crying of tear, he was heard in that he feared. He feared God. He didn't take God for granted. He's a son. He's been in the bosom of the Father. Yet when it comes to his relationship with the Father, he moved with that sense of awe. He said, I can do nothing but what I see my Father do, that I do. That's the way of a man who have learned to fear God. That was what Saul lacked. And that was what led to the loss of that kingdom. Samuel said, I'm coming after 7 days. And after 7 days, he didn't come. A good reason for you to move on. I've waited long enough. I've done my best. They said, we should pray. We have prayed. Fast, I have fasted. Look, I'm going to do my own. Such was Saul. The man gave me 7 or 8 days. And this is it. And look, everybody's running away. King God, everything. And then the Bible says, I forced myself. I forced myself. Meaning he knows. And that is the difference between him and David. And the Bible says he went. That is violation of the due order. He violated the order. And why? Because he did not fear God. If you fear God, does it matter if everybody run away? Hey, I will sit down there. He said he's coming after 8 days. We wait on him. You want to go? Go. That's the difference. He said, I forced myself. When I waited, I don't know what to do. I kindled my own fire. I blight my own candle and I walk in it. And he said, what? You will lie down in sorrow. That's why Saul lie down in sorrow. Not so with David. A man after God's heart. Seek the Lord. He feared the Lord. And that's why he never feared any nation. Fear the Lord. The last gospel, which will be preached by the church, is simply this. Fear God. And obey his commandment. Revelation chapter 14. Said, and I saw an angel in the heaven. These are sons of God. These are overcomers. Preaching the everlasting gospel. And what? Simply, nothing much. Fear God. And obey his commandment. That's all. An ecclesiastic man put it in another way. He said, this is the sum of everything. This is the rounding up of everything. Fear God and obey his commandment.
That's the one.
Fear God and obey his commandment. The everlasting gospel. The gospel of the kingdom. Fear God. That's what we are preaching. Fear God. That's what we are preaching now. Fear God. Men, don't fear God anymore. The Pentecostal don't fear God anymore. They have lost it completely. But in this way, we say, fear God. So those amongst us who are even, who could have been head and shoulder, they still come and bow down. Those who could have been champion and be this, they still come and bow down. And follow the lead of those who are even younger. That is the way. That's the way of the kingdom. He said, let him that is greatest among you be as a servant. That is the way of the kingdom. And when you go against that order, it's a show that you do not fear God. It's going against the due order. Not respecting the due order. Having a disregard to the due order. The ark was supposed to be carried upon the shoulder of men. Oh, David also missed it at that point. He borrowed the idea from the Philistine. He said, oh, this God, no, shoulder of men that will disturb this ark. Let's get a good ark, a good cart. And they made a better cart and look for, and they now look for a very strong man, Uzzah. Uzzah is there. He will lead this thing. He will lead this walk. Uzzah is there. He will help us. Uzzah is true. They pick Uzzah. No, any other person. The man with the strength. Uzzah will guide us through. They still want to pick him. Because this thing must not fail. The ark are in need of Uzzah to carry it through. So they pick Uzzah. But when they get to the threshold, that is where the testing is. Ah, we will get there. That threshold of honor, they got there. He will test, he will prove. This movement, has it met my purpose? He will give it a start. He will test it. That's the threshold of honor. He tested the move. It was a new move of the new cart. With a new man of strength. A new thing they have never done before. All the year of Israel. Throughout their year, the ark has already. Then somebody come with a new idea. And God said, no problem, we are going to test it. And I tell you, we are getting to the threshold of honor. Now. Everything will be tested there. So be careful, brethren. What you do, don't borrow an idea from the church and bring it in. Say, they did this in my church. Therefore, I bring it. It won't work. It will fail at the threshold of honor. We must seek the Lord. Oh, I heard that church did it this way. And therefore, we can do it that way. It will fail at the threshold of honor. So please, we seek the Lord. When God said, do it this way, when God does not speak, we hold on. That threshing floor will always be a testing place. We are getting there right away. Hallelujah. And what happened? The Bible said the ark fell. And Uzzah, of course, get up and want to, and God smote him. And the Bible says something. The Bible said, and David fear. Another level of the fear of God was instilled in his heart. Ah! He said, no. This ark, let it go somewhere else. The Bible said David feared. God increase the level of his fear in his heart. Why? He learned that things must be done according to the due order. God said, this ark, it doesn't matter. Oh, the distance is very long. How will 2, 4 men or 8 men walk 10 kilometers? Let's help him out. Maybe that was what was going on in his mind. The ark was somewhere else. It must come back to, I think, Shiloh or so. The distance, oh, let's help him out. Let's not suffer these 8 men walking that long distance. That is not the way of God. So once there's a deviation from the due order, that is a loss of the fear of God. It can happen in a country. It can happen in a life. Your life is patterned after a due order. What is the order of your life? We have said about it. Christ is the order of your life. He's the one that order your life. Follow him. don't kindle your own fire. So simply put, in this way, the fear of the Lord, the Bible says, is the beginning of wisdom. It's the light way by which we walk. It's the one that teaches us to depart from iniquity, from seeking our own way. The fear of God. Seek that due order. What does God want for your life? When you learn to respond and respect His will, you are walking after the due order. When you seek His face in every decision, every turning, you are walking after the due order. When you learn to wait upon Him, you are walking after the due order. When you learn to wake up in the morning and worship Him and have a time of quietness with Him, you are walking after the due order. When you learn how to read your Bible and pray and get understanding from the Word, you are walking after the due order. When you learn how to love your brethren, no matter what they do to you, you are ready to forgive and love them and show that you love them, you are walking after the due order. When you learn to forgive rather than holding on to grudges, you are walking after the due order. When you learn to submit, you are walking after the due order. To one another in love, you are learning to walk after the due order. And the Bible said they will not break ranks. They will match each one in their ways. They will not injure each other, the due order. When you learn to discern the body, you are walking after the due order. You are respecting the house. God will honor you. Yes, you are walking after the due order. Designing the body of Christ. Walking in the light of His truth. Hallelujah. Oh, may we walk after the due order. Let's go to the last two questions. I've already answered it to them, but I told them that I'm going to still send it to all of us. So we'll be very brief on that. Question number three. How can I know and be sure I am walking in the will of God? How can I know that what I am doing is the will of God for my life? How will I be so sure about it? When I have chosen a way, and I'm going in it, and I still that conflict. Ah, are you sure this is the will of God for you? How will I be able to douse that contention, that striving? How will I be able to? And the scriptures of truth is always there for us. When God called Moses, after he had finished speaking with him, Moses asked him, he said, how shall I know? How shall I answer them when they ask me this? And God told him, you take this sign, you take that. Then the Lord spoke to him. He said, and you will come to worship me at this mountain. You will come to worship me at this mountain. He was talking to him at that mountain. He said, when you have gone and you are coming, you will come to worship me at this mountain. You can look for that passage. It's somewhere in Exodus. After God has finished speaking with Moses. And they got there and worshiped God. So how do you know? Whatever God signified to you will always create a spontaneous heart of worship to Him. It will only increase and enhance your life of worship. your life of devotion. That's number one. Number two, you will not be afraid to lose that thing. You are not bound to, you are not tied to it. You will learn to worship God. But if it is not the Lord, you will worship that thing. That thing will take over your worship life. How will it take over? You will be afraid of losing it. And that fear in itself is a proof to you. Now, sometimes, and let me say something and clarify that. I know that when we have good things, you know, nobody wants to lose good things. Want to keep our good things. So that is always that, you know, background fear of, you know, that thing, I don't want to lose it. Yeah, because you love it. And God is not going to take it away. It's like, oh, this thing I've been waiting for, it's like a dream come true. Oh, don't let this dream pass. We'll let it just remain. You know, I know we all go through that. And God understands. But you see, when it is the will of God for you, even though that attachment will be there, that, you know, love and little or whatever fear of losing it will come in once a while and go and all that. But you know one thing, the Spirit of God in you that has guided you and led you in the way, now that you have gotten it, will also be with you even to the end. And that Spirit will always be there assuring you that, look, this is a gift from the Lord. And the gift of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. So he will quieten that voice in your heart, number one. And number two, there is going to be a continuous outburst of joy and praise. And it will get to a time whereby nothing matters. So the Holy Spirit, who had guided you this way, he will lead you even after you have gotten it. Even after you are walking in the will of God, he will not say, okay, now you have started the will of God. Okay, let us serve. Okay, just go on. Next time. No. He will also lead you step by step all the way. So when they came and worshiped at the mountain and serve him, what did he do? He continued to lead them and direct them each day. The pillar of cloud by day, the pillar. You will know more of his presence. You will know more of his power. He has confirmed in your heart his testimony. And you will not be afraid in the name of Jesus. So that way you can be sure the Holy Spirit will always guide you. Now the last question, question number four. Oh, and we have answered this, so there would be nothing much to say. I just wrote this down because the person... He said, you said God controlled the realm of the light and darkness, and that he uses and allow even the agent of darkness to operate freely, you know, and all that. That God is one in control. And I say, yes. God is the one controlling all the forces. So sometimes when he allowed the agent of darkness to come around, it's either two things. Either he wants to destroy those agents and send them to permanent imprisonment, or he wants to awaken you from your sleep. He wants to jack you up. So it's either of the two. It's either that spirit has been disturbing people and God wants to destroy it and lock him up. The Bible said that there are spirits that are in chain of darkness and they are waiting for the time when they will be permanently destroyed. So when you bind a spirit and send him to that abyss, he's chained up. So God may say, okay, that spirit has been harassing this, has been disturbing this, has been disturbing this. Okay, I will deal with that spirit. So he sent that spirit, go and meet my son. Go and meet my daughter. And he will be looking. And the spirit come around you and he's playing around. He said, where did you come from? Do you know who I am? You? in my life? In that, before you said in the name of Jesus, he has flee. While he's fleeing, you say, I bind you. Immediately, a mighty change just incapacitated, binding hands and foot. And say, I cast you to the abyss. Wham! And it's permanently chained up there. It's finished. You have executed the judgment. That's all that God sent that spirit for. That's why he sent him. That's why God sent that spirit. But if it is that you are sleeping too much, you sleep from 6 p.m. and you are turning from one side of the bed to the other. Hey, you look at the clock, it's 3 a.m. Say, oh, the day is still, you still turn over. You turn over. And God wanted my son, wake up and pray. Wake up and pray, pray, pray. Pray that you may not fall into temptation. God wanted to say, okay, no problem. So God sends some demon, they come and send you some nightmares. They oppress you. Demon, demon, witches, 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 demon, I bind you, I bind you, I bind you. No. Don't stop by all those premature binding. Go on your knee and say, Father, I am sorry. I am sorry I have been sleeping. I do that. When I sleep and I saw, I say, oh, no, 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 oh, no, no. How can, you know? I say, God, I'm sorry. I need not to have slept like that. Why? Because I'm a soldier. And a soldier cannot afford to sleep anyhow. I'm a soldier in the war front. So when a soldier got to the war front and he starts sleeping, what will happen? He'll be wake up with the noise of bullets and grenades. He's not casting out devil and binding Satan. No, no, no. Just go on your knee and say, Father, I'm sorry. Awaken me. Awaken me from my darkened sleep. You find yourself being poor in the mind. You can't think and think through. Sleep. Sleep. You can't think. You are not productive in your mind. Your mind is like locked up. But when it comes to watching pornography and watching other films, your mind is active. You can analyze only. Your mind has been locked up. Ask God to forgive you and open up your mind. So those spirits, God send them. God send them. God is the one. He said in the book of Isaiah, he said, I create evil and I create good. I make light and I create darkness. He said, all this my hand have made. Then in chapter 54, he said, I make the smith that blow the coal and bring forth his instrument. He said, even the waster that I made him. He said, but, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Why did God not bring them out of Egypt before start destroying the land of Egypt? He was destroying it while they were there. So my brethren, this is the matter. Fear the Lord. Honor him. Walk in consecration. Forget about yourself. Seek after the Lord day by day. Put away all the filthiness. Don't borrow ideas from the nations. Seek the Lord. Walk holy before him. Walk in humility before him. Seek him day and night. Don't take the gathering, the fellowship of God people for granted. Don't take it for granted. God is a judge. God is watching. God is watching. Everything you do, do it in his sight. Don't say, oh, nobody is watching me, so I can do anything. I can watch a little pornography. I can play around anyhow. Your sin will find you out. Your sin will definitely find you out. And a day is coming, brethren, and is upon us, when the ungodly will not be able to stand in the congregation of the righteous. God will sniff them out. They will yell and cry out from the midst of the sin. They can't abide. God will pick them out. And the word of the Lord will come. Was my spirit not with you? When you were in your room and you were opening this video and you are watching that thing. And you are looking at this and you are doing this. Was my spirit not with you? And you are coming here and now you are bidding. You better repent now. A prophecy will come in your side. Call the name, sister, so-so, brother, so-so, so-so. Was my spirit not with you when you were in your bedroom and you were doing this and you are watching this, now you are in the house and you are doing this, you better repent. The days are upon us. So please, let us learn to be disciplined. Let us learn to walk in the fear of God. That is the end of the good. That's the everlasting gospel. Fear the Lord and obey His, keep His commandment. That is the end. That is all that God wants to restore. His fear. Say, if I be a master, where is my fear? And I tell you, God is going to restore His fear in His house. But learn it now. Learn it by the soft agencies. Learn it by the ministry of His mercy and truth. Let the soft agency of His mercy and truth teach you mercy and fear of the Lord. If you do not, He will bring His hard agencies. He will bring His rod of iron. And He will break in shreds all the rebellion in the house and all the hypocrites. So awake unto righteousness. The night is far spent, brethren. Put away all the works of darkness. Clothe yourself with the garment of light. Arise, for the light of God is shining forth. God is calling a people unto Himself, unto holiness. A people that will seek God's face. A generation will serve Him and they will seek His face. God is about to reveal those generations. Awake from sleep, my brethren. It is time to serve the Lord. Let's begin to talk to Jesus. All glory to the Lamb of God. Another question. How can I know God's will or man's will? What is the difference? Oh, God's will will glorify God. Man's will will glorify man. Very simple and straightforward. But how do you know it in detail? Just walk in the way. Just keep walking in the way. And He will teach you of the way. He will show you what to do. When man's will is coming in, and of course that man's will is your own will. Because no man can force his own will upon you. So if a man speak to you or tell you, your will still need to accept what that man say and walk in it. So once you accept, it becomes your own will. So whether it is coming directly from you or somebody else, any man, bringing anything, and there is no light in it, you must know the light. You must know the truth. And when you know the truth, you walk in the light of the truth, you will always be delivered from all lies and error.
Amen.
And like I said, it's not that difficult to decipher the two of them. For those whose heart has been so instructed to fear Him and to love Him, they can never miss it. When the counsel comes and is coming not from the Spirit of God, when the counsel is coming that is not from the Spirit of God and you have even taken it, or it's coming from you, or it's coming from the distance, and you are waiting on the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord Himself in you will come and stir up in you a standard, will speak to you, will guide you, will instruct you. And that's why as we grow in the Lord, the first thing God teaches us, discipline us, is our ears to be open. So the Lord said, my sheep hears my voice. The voice of the stranger they will not hear. Was the stranger speaking? Yes. Will they hear the stranger physically? Yes. But inwardly, they will not hear the stranger. And because they are led by the inward intuition, they will not walk by the voice of a stranger. So as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Amen.
Amen. Is that the question?
Okay. Praise the Lord. So that is it. I believe that that question is answered. And please, let's just seek the Lord. Let's wait upon the Lord. Oh, the time has fully gone. Oh, the Lord just have mercy on us. So just let's talk to the Lord. Just talk to the Lord. Brother Philip, please just take over. Or Chidara.
Uncle.
Yeah.
Uncle Sam.
Yeah.
Yeah, just before he prays, just in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Someone is asking, what are practical ways to fear God? What are practical ways to fear God?
Yeah. Yes. The practical way to fear God are all before us. All before us. Number one, the church of the living God. He said that thou mayest know how to behave in the house of God, in the church of the living God. Then he said somewhere, I think in Corinthians, he said, some people, because they do not discern, some slept and some died. I mean, that sleeping means some people die. When they come to take the Lord's Supper, because they do not discern the body, he says some slept. If you are, as you are a member of the church of the living God, one of the first things that the Lord is going to teach you is how to discern his body. How to give respect to the body of Christ. So one of the practical ways of walking in the fear of God is, number one, to discern the body of Christ. The Bible calls it the ground and the pillar of truth. And what does you do to discern the body? One, he has instructed us in the body to love each other. He has instructed us in the word to submit one to another. He has instructed us to give honor, to honor the brotherhood. When a man, a child of God, begin to walk dishonorably, causing confusion in the house, causing bitterness and anger and dissension, he's completely not walking in the fear of God. When the church is going to be better off, you know, is more in trouble when you are around, then you are not fearing the Lord. You must be able to say that thou mayest know how to behave in the house of the Lord. When we come for a service, when the church is in session, when you say, okay, we are having a meeting. Oh, the meeting is starting by 9 a.m. Part of the practical way that, I fear, is that you make everything, except when it is completely beyond your reach, to make sure you are there 10 minutes, 5 minutes before time. Because you know that once you say you are meeting, the Lord is going to be there. How can I be the one keeping the Lord waiting? You don't have to be struggling. Get there. Get on your knee. When you get there, you don't start walking around. Oh, how are you? How was your cake you baked yesterday? How was the outing yesterday? No, you go straight on your knee and you are praying. You are praying. And after the meeting, when the meeting is all over, we have shared the grace and everything. Oh, okay. Oh, so you are here. Oh, how was the meeting today? When you are there, you know no man anymore after the flesh. You know everybody in Christ. It's not, this is my friend, this is my brother, we will be together. No. What you are, I am in before the Lord, and the Lord is in his holy temple. Let every man be silent. So that is one of the practical ways in the church. And when that is lost in the church, it led to many people being killed. Ananias and Sapphira is one of them, and the Bible said many others. Then you now come when you are not in the church, in your own private life. How do I know that I fear the Lord and I walk in the fear of the Lord? In the decision you make, in the choice you make, do you involve God? Do you call upon his name? Are you prayerful? Or do you only pray when you need a thing from God? Then you remember, I need to pray. Are you in constant prayer with God? Or are you just snitching and teach and cheat here and there? Do you backbite behind others? Do you speak of your brother, of your sister anyhow? Do you keep malice? Do you keep grudges? It's a show that you don't fear God. You don't fear God. And the reason is because, well, this God, we don't see him, so I can do anything I like. But when you know that you live constantly in his presence, you will walk in his fear. So that is it, my brethren. It covers both your public life and your private life. When you are before unbelievers, how do you behave? Can the unbeliever testify that, look, this one is different? No, this one. If we are talking about other, please, when this one comes, let's keep quiet. We can't bring it to him. Or when they are crossing and they are doing all this thing, and you get there and they say, oh boy, Padilla, did you know that thing? And you say, you know. It shows that you have not walked in the fear of God. You have feared men. When you do not fear God, you will fear men. Because something must replace that fear quotation in man. Something must replace it. So if you don't fear God, you will fear men. So when you are not, when you fear men more than God, when you fear the devil more than God, it's a show that you are not fearing God. When anything comes here, the devil is after me. Oh, demon. Oh, witches. My grandparents, they did this. Therefore, I'm solving this one. It's just show that you have not known God, you have not feared him. Many churches will be closed down the day the devil is bound and is no longer in use. But many churches are raised up just for the devil. Their prayer is devil, witches, devil, witches, witches, devil. That's all their prayer. Nothing else. As if that's what God made prayer for. Brethren, prayer is not given to us, but the prayer is an instrument of relationship with God. It's our tie with God. It's a covenant with God. It's a communion with the Father. He said that we commune with you between the wings of the cherubim. That's prayer. So that is it, my brother. I don't know, my sister, whoever has that question. That is it. In the house of God, behave yourself. Be an instrument of love. Be an instrument, a peacemaker. Don't bear grudge. Don't bear hurt against each other. Call each other. If you have somebody says something, and then talk to the person. Talk to him face to face. Call him up. Call the person up. You know, I love one of my daughter, my sister. He just come and say, Uncle, you did something I don't like. I say, oh, I'm sorry. That is it. You know? And I love the way that sister talks. Suppose it's somebody else. It's Brother Sam. He has done it. Let me just keep quiet. No. Brother Sam is a human being. He's a human being. And if you don't talk to me when I'm wrong, you don't love me. And please put yourself in a place where people can correct you. If people stop correcting you, check all the ministers who move in the time of the appointing of the Spirit. Check many of them, how they passed away, how they die. Many of them cannot be reached by correction. So when you want to make it, put yourself in a place. Let's be open to correction. Let's be open when somebody come and tell you, even if the person is, oh, brother, oh, thank you very much. I really appreciate that so much. God bless you. I will go and watch it. I will go and pray about it. I'm really sorry about that. We should learn like that. No God. Because the time is very short. So that is it. You said 2 minutes. Sorry, I've taken more than 2 minutes. God bless you. I hope I've answered the question. Chidera.
Yes, sir. I'm not the one that asked, but I believe it's clearly answered. It was very detailed.
Okay.
Amen. So I think, Bro Philip.
Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. The time has been well spent. Glory to God. So